Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, it's a referendum tonight. It's a referendum on
football.
No, it's a referendum on this podcast. It's a referendum on college football and this podcast. It's a series of arbitrary votes that we're making about college football in this podcast because on election night we thought it was only appropriate, you know, to turn this into a matter of primary importance.
Da-na-na-na, it's Decision 2018.
I hate all of you.
Welcome to the Shutdown Ballotcast.
No. Shutdown Pollcast. What's wrong with you?
More like Y38.com.
Shutdown Pollcast is our firefighters only episode. You know that.
Firefighters only is our charity calendar.
Firefighters only is our dating site.
And they're both not safe for work.
Is our firefighters only charity calendar sexy non-firefighters made for firefighters?
No, it's sexy people who have no business fighting fire right in front of huge conflagrations.
Like they themselves are catching fire because they're so hot. I think one thing that Spencer said early on is key. He used the word podcast. And after some time not being a podcast, we are at this exact moment a podcast again, folks. You are listening to this via podcast app. There are many things we can explain. If you're not caught up, then I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You know what that sounds like, Jason? That sounds like a little bit of podcast business.
Podcast business has concluded.
I mean, podcast business. I want to. Can I asterisk everything you just said? Because in theory, that's right.
Yeah.
No, it totally is, because if anyone heard me say that, they therefore heard it. You know what I mean?
Damn it.
See what I'm saying? It's like it's quantum physics. What is it? You know what I'm saying?
You're in the quantum realm.
Shutdown Fullcast, sponsored by the quantum realm.
I believe this is like the videotapes that you leave for your children after you die of a terminal illness, right? If you can hear this, dear listener,
we should
I've crossed over into the great beyond, and let me tell you, bam, a cheating.
Can we each record an episode to be released only after our deaths?
Yes, 100%. Do you want to do one for each of us or one for when we're all dead, like Tontine style?
Like we each have a custom death episode.
Okay, yeah, we can work on that. It's a long off season. Ba-da-da-da. Oh wait, got an update here from our first the first race in our Shutdown Fullcast 2018 midterm nonsense ballot. This is the race for 2019 USC head coach, and I can confirm with almost 2,000 votes, Matt Leinart has been elected head coach of 2019 USC football. Incumbent Clay Helton finishing last with 9% of the vote. Jack Del Rio, impressive 35% of the vote, but couldn't quite get there.
Clay Helton was the libertarian candidate?
Clay Helton was the Green Party candidate who died before Election Day.
Wait, Matt Leinart isn't the libertarian candidate?
No, that's exactly why I made Clay the Green Party candidate.
Okay.
There's an actual Alaskan politician, I believe his name is Don Young, who only got into an office he's held for something like 40 years at this point because his opponent, who won the election, died in a plane crash, but they couldn't find the body. So in order to take the office, he had to wait until his opponent was declared legally dead.
Goals.
I'll just wait him out. I like to think Don Young is out there like hunting his opponent, right? Like if he got loose, I'll make sure they never find him so I can get this seat.
Congrats to Matt Leinart, who ran on a single plank platform of you should be allowed to have sex in a play place.
Single plank.
I feel queasy and want us to stick to sports.
Okay, I'm sorry. Spencer, what week preview is this?
This is week 11.
That's Matt.
Man.
Damn, the confidence.
On point. On point. Actually, I said week 11 with total confidence. You know what that means? I had absolutely no confidence in it. That was actually a guess because I was like, it still might be week 10.
You nailed it. I'm proud of you.
Yep. I did it.
And your knowledge of time and where we are in it puts you well ahead of Will Muschamp, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Muschamp was asked today about if he had addressed and discussed the election. Because as Mulder of men, you figure football coaches would know about these things, encourage people to be good members of the community and engaged on a civic level, right?
Let's do a quick role play of this. I'll be media member X, you be Will Muschamp, okay?
Okay.
Hey, coach, did you remind your players to vote today?
We're preparing for Florida.
Right, but today's the election.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that now. I didn't know that before you told me that. But
yeah. You don't think it's important for your players to participate in democracy?
We're getting ready for Florida.
Okay, no more questions.
Aren't we all getting ready for Florida? Really?
Not anymore.
Grand scheme.
Not anymore. Now that I can't vape indoors at a dog track.
Now that you can't have an oil rig in your backyard and vape atop
now,
it.
Now that I can't have, thanks to amendments passing in the state of Florida, an outdoor oil rig that I vape indoors while I hold greyhound dog racing on that dog track. I can't do that anymore.
It's fucked up, man. Florida, I don't even know you anymore.
Getting ready for Florida can mean a lot of things, really. It's a broad spectrum of possible behaviors and outcomes when you're getting ready for Florida, right?
I also like that Will Muschamp is also getting questions about Florida's quarterback situation.
Yeah, why does it suck?
Right, and people are saying, like, listen, those questions got to go to Dan Mullen now, not Will Muschamp. Just totally erasing that there may have been a coach in the middle there. Somewhere. there may have been somebody between those two.
Who's a president who you always forget? A president who every single time, and admittedly, I'm asking you to remember something that you always forget, but do your best. Who's a president who you always forget?
Rutherford B. Hayes?
This is like the who's the least football team you think about question. It's going to be like the one we just remembered after 20 minutes of discussion.
Chester A. Arthur, right?
Oh, shit. I totally forgot about him.
Right. That's...
I would have said McKinley.
Mm, I mean, he's a two-term.
Pierce? You
know? I feel Pierce, like... Pierce, yeah, Franklin Pierce.
What's his name? Millard Fillmore?
But his name is Millard Fillmore. He's one that you remember
for being unmemorable. He doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's the San Diego Chargers here.
John Tyler can fuck off, too.
Yeah,
John Tyler. He's memorable for doing nothing intentionally. He was the also, Ron Swanson of presidents.
Also, John Tyler could totally start at quarterback for UGA because John Tyler and Tyler John, they both work. Therefore, he's QB eligible, especially at UGA.
Well, I mean, so could Millard Fillmore. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
are there presidents who couldn't?
Here are the presidents who definitely could: John Adams, Thomas Jefferson. James mm-hmm. Madison, yeah. James Monroe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. James Madison would beat Virginia.
They're all white men, which helps.
Andrew Jackson, yep. John Tyler, Zachary Taylor, right in there. Franklin Pierce,
oh yeah, man.
Abraham Lincoln, yeah. Technically, that works. Andrew Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant.
Grant Ulysses is actually a fantastic linebacker. Like, Ohio State would have a guy like Grant Ulysses on the tackle. He's a grinder. He's a coach's son.
Benjamin Harrison. This is a murderer's row. Woodrow Wilson, you know.
I enjoy hard-hitting Missouri safety Truman Harry. Truman Harry would be an amazing safety.
We really don't have enough Trumans.
Truman.
For men.
For men.
Whoa.
This is, you know, who screws this up? The Bush family. Because nobody's going to have the first name Bush. No. That's stupid.
No.
Although one of them probably does.
Bush George probably would play for what? Utah State?
Rice.
Yeah.
Eisenhower Dwight is the least Georgia president name.
Carter Jimmy. I don't know. No, Carter Jimmy's a Pac-12.
Wilson Woodrow passed for 5,400 yards for Mike Leach in 2003. prove me that I'm wrong. I can't. You can't.
Georgia has a game this week that I guess we're talking about. I didn't originally put it on the sheet, but Jason made me.
Do we have to?
It's true. Are we going out of order? Is that what we're
doing? Yeah, yeah. This is, yeah. This, it's, you okay. Got to understand, it's election night. So we're, you know, Spencer's in front of a big map, and he's just going to, mm-hmm. like, point us around to different places.
Why do we have to theme it around this god-awful thing?
So results are rolling in from Athens, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm. Keep it up. Yep.
Athens, Georgia voters have spoken their mind, and let's hear what they have to say. Actually, let's not. Let's. How about
I
we
feel
don't?
Like I understand what all those people who are when they tell us that they come to sports as an escape from politics, except I'm not a violent racist.
Do-do-do-do. Oh, my God. Another update in the Shutdown Fullcast midterm nonsense ballot. In the race for 2019 Auburn head coach. Great news. Gus Malzahn has been reelected.
A strong challenge from Terry Bowden.
Extremely strong challenge from Terry Bowden. Surprisingly margins. Weak effort from Gene Chizik, Tommy Tuberville coming in third. Unfortunate for him. Yeah, congratulations to Gus. Big, big night for him. Big,
he just cannot get his ass out of there.
You know, it feels like every game Gus Malzahn gets primaried, but manages to keep it going.
By the way, if you do not know why Ryan is just boldly breaking in here, I swear he's not making these up. He put these out on Twitter and polled each of these prior to the show. So
what we want is more elections.
And guess what? If you don't like them, we have four more.
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't even have my Nintendo.
At a hotel in Central Florida.
Oh, this Hampton Inn fucks.
You know, is it one of the okay, there's always the baseline Hampton that's trying real hard, and every now and then you step into like the arms of the sex disco Hampton.
This is the sex disco Hampton. There are LeMay curtains. I don't understand them.
Not just Hampton Inn just getting freaky out there in sign land. I
more like
wanted
the humping in.
The hump ton, because there's a ton of hump. Yeah. The thing that I wanted to talk about with Georgia Auburn is we were trying to figure out earlier today in a discussion what the worst possible series of events for Auburn is in terms of, you know, Ralph Malzahn, in terms of getting Gus Malzahn out, because still, even after some victories, the general sense is that Malzahn is done and they are going to try to buy him out and get a new coach for next year. So with that being the case, what's the most awkward series of events over the next couple of games leading up to the big decision to keep or can Gus Malzahn? What is that? Don't just say, oh, if they win the rest of their games. No, because that points towards maybe we were wrong and he can do this.
I think it is lose to Georgia badly, beat Alabama. And here's why. Because you, even your brain, like your initial reaction is to laugh because your brain doesn't understand how a team could do both of those things in this the year 2018. And that's just you considering it from a safe remove. Now imagine that you are somebody who has to decide whether or not Gus Malzahn's going to be the coach at Auburn and try to factor in those two pieces of data.
How about this? You take Georgia to overtime and lose.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take Alabama to overtime and lose. What do you do with that?
I'd watch the whole thing, man.
Can I throw one more complicating factor in the mix here? In the midst of all this, Washington gets a playoff bid. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get there, but let's say it happens. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. We got some scenarios to create. You've broken the 538 model.
That's what election night is for.
There are little
are we taking NCAA sanctions into account?
Sure.
There's little trigonometric diagrams popping up around my head right now.
So Northwestern wins the Big Ten. Notre Dame loses to Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Sure.
I mean, what are the rankings right now? Where is Washington in the rankings right now?
25th.
So in is what you're saying. They're in the rankings.
They're really, really close. They're doing great.
They just need a few dominoes to tumble in their favor, just a few.
Mm-hmm. Well, the key is you want to be one of the one of the four on one of the edges, whether it's the top or the bottom, and they're doing the thing where you sneak all the way back around and come in at the top.
It's gonna work.
The old end around.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most awkward outcome possible would be this: if they lose to Georgia, right? But it's close. And then if somehow Tua has the worst game imaginable and they absolutely crack Alabama. I mean, like they did last year. Like if it's like 26-14, right? If it's like 30-14 and Alabama can't run the ball and suddenly Auburn just has them on the ropes, that would be thoroughly confusing. But there'd still be that loss making everyone feel real discontent that they lost to a bitter rival. And on top of that, they go into the bowl game and absolutely skunk it. Like just, I mean, like Florida against Mizzou, like, oh, guys, we left our pants in the locker room. Like that kind of like totally unready, as bad as you can, like can't run the ball further than 3 yards a quarter. That kind of like absolute collapse in a bowl game. That to me, that's the worst case scenario.
So, I mean, I think Auburn folks can say whatever Auburn folks say. If you beat this Alabama team, keep him. I don't care. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how the roster shambles, how bad they've been. If you beat this team, $60 million buyout. Do it.
What if they beat Georgia?
I don't care about that.
Deep down, Auburn doesn't really care about that either. They're just thinking about Bama. They are. The Georgia game, they're just irritated. It's this thing they have to do. You know, it's the South's oldest rivalry. What good old Southern things are really worth venerating, okay?
Sir, it's actually literacy.
That's only been in since like 1903, man. We'd have to do the math.
This is my oldest ingrown toenail.
Exactly. This thing is really old and Southern. You're like, oh, so it's probably a really bad idea. It's probably unconstitutional. We might want to check on that. Can Auburn and Georgia play?
Not in Florida.
South's oldest rivalry, indoor vaping versus offshore drilling. Who you got?
God, I love that Florida actually had to vote on that.
I assume in this example, Auburn is indoor vaping.
they're definitely indoor vaping because they don't recruit well out of
like,
the state.
Bama's like onshore drilling.
Right, right. School drilling.
Nick Saban's thinking, we're too dependent on the power grid at this program. We need our own source of energy. And all the fans are like, Nick, that is a great point. That is an amazing point.
Bama's like mall fracking.
Those are the people who finally crack the first fusion reactor. It's because Nick Saban wants the taco bar to be warm 24 hours a day. Power grid can't take it. Make a fusion reactor. Do it.
I was watching this documentary, The Matrix, about how we can use humans for power. Pretty intriguing. Also gets around a lot of the recruiting numbers if you think about it.
We have a Thursday night game. I'm gonna broach it because I want to talk about a team that I have seen score 50 points, albeit 50 points against Louisville. But still, even grading on a curve, Wake Forest plays at NC State for an ACC game of God. How do I? It's like, how would you describe these stakes?
It's not importance.
All right, based on memory, how many Power Five teams can you name that have not scored 50 points on Louisville?
I looked this up today. It's, I believe, two?
It's three.
Three, okay.
Florida State.
Florida State mm-hmm. scored 28, still one. Virginia yeah. scored 27, but Louisville only scored three. And Boston College scored 38. Clemson, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, Alabama have all exceeded 50. Most fairly comfortably. Alabama
well,
somehow
luckily,
the bottom of that
Syracuse
list.
Isn't known for scoring tons of points, no. especially at home.
Nope. And luckily, it's not a short week after you just got processed by Clemson.
Luckily, damn, Syracuse put 51 on NC State 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
NC State's way better than you, Louisville. Oh, boy.
Oh, also, you play them after this game.
God, it gets worse.
You might have one game where you give up, I don't know, 77, right, to Clemson and go, I don't know, maybe Clemson just, you know, maybe Clemson just had us reeling, right? Yeah, like one punch led to another and a much stronger person put me on my back. Yeah, sure. That's how that fight went. Georgia Tech put up 66 on you.
So as bad as Louisville is, this is awesome right here. They finish with 4 top 14 teams. Clemson, Kentucky, Syracuse, NC State.
Kentucky's doing its best to make sure it won't be top 14.
Yeah, well, let's say top 25.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're having the December, January of household budgeting moments, right? Like, bam, Christmas, bam, unexpected tax bill, bam.
They started payment. With Alabama and it got worse.
It'd be real shame if this pipe burst. Another $3,000. Oh, look, your kid's got in a fight. One of them broke a tooth. $800. See if you make it to February.
We were talking about Wake Forest, NC State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did a bad job talking about Wake Forest, NC State.
That's fine. Let's just reboot. We can go to Friday. Skip it. Go to a real game.
Syracuse is 13th in the playoff rankings, and it appears that they are down at 58th in S&P Plus. So
okay.
I would say it's a good time to short Syracuse, but they're playing Louisville, so do that next week.
Wake Forest, NC State, you should watch on Thursday just because, hey, it's daylight savings time now, and you're just going to be sad and lonely because night is everywhere all the time, so you might as well spend some of your time on Thursday watching an ACC game.
Can I tell you? For men.
For men. Yes, that's true. It's the Demon Deacon, after all.
I have a solution for a daylight savings time, early onset, like darkness, which is this.
And sleep? Sleep all day?
Better. It is the most dad solution I've ever had to anything. And I've bought everyone in the house new headlamps.
Jesus Christ.
So if the kids like complain about it being dark outside, I just give them headlamps and they're like, ooh, headlamps. We can play like we're in mines, Daddy. I'm like, yes, play like you're in mines.
You are living life in a Fallout world.
They're thrilled with them. They're like, look, they go red, they blink. I'm like, yeah. Why don't you go clean the yard with your headlamp on?
Why don't you go clean the mine?
Yeah, go clean the mine.
With this pickaxe.
Now, are you trying this with your wife as well?
Yes, because she runs, so I got her a headlamp. But any of you like headlamps? I'll buy headlamps for everybody. Holly,
I
know
you want one.
Are you
trying to say you like found a pallet of headlamps?
No, that would be great. Do you know how happy I would be if I found a pallet of headlamps?
But Bud can get you one. Bud can absolutely get you.
You just type in headlamp with two D's.
27 cents per unit. You gotcha. You got about 500 units.
Speaking of places without light or hope, Fresno. Actually, they have a lot of hope. They're real good. This is a dope game. This is a great Friday night game, man. Starts at 10:15, but Fresno State at Boise State. Hell yes.
The battle for the milk can, right?
Is that true?
Isn't that this one?
If you say so, you could have said anything at that point.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
It'll be a good game until Fresno State cracks that ass. What's something you crack open?
A beer?
Is this an ad read?
Hymns.com. Are you having memory problems?
Crack your dick open.
Your weird dick.
Unable to get it up in the memory sense?
It's not an ad read, okay? Stop it.
Why did we do those?
This is the milk can. You are correct.
Whose memory ain't working now? Why is it a milk can?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah, those aren't for men.
Milk cans for men.
Jim Harbaugh would disagree.
the history of this game and of its trophy. It was a new rivalry, so they decided that, yeah, they did need some way to sell it. There were not one, but two separate dairy groups that got involved with their local football programs because California and Idaho, both massive dairy states, if you didn't know, California being the number one dairy state, because basically California is our entire country and is awesome. That's why. So they're the number one dairy state as well. Suck it, Wisconsin. And they got together and decided, hey, we can sponsor this. So they have a dairy can that goes back and forth. And by the way, the dairy can only changes hands during the regular season contest. If the two meet the Mountain West Championship game, the dairy can is not involved.
Wow.
Yes. And the best part is that it's filled with buckshot. So it weighs about 400 pounds.
Yeah, so I'm not buying it.
No, that part's not true. I just said that. Yeah, it's filled with.
There are a lot of weird people from Fresno. I'm just looking here.
Lane Kiffin,
Bobby Cox, Cher, Tom Seaver. Yeah, Kevin Federline.
Thank you. At last, a celebrity. Thank you.
Billy Volek.
The Billy Volek?
Jerry Tarkanian.
That's what the V on the side of Fresno State's helmet stands for. Mm-hmm. Volek.
Yeah. Yeah. He got a weird thing going on in Fresno. Slim Pickens, also from Fresno.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lopez twins. Anyway, oh my god. Boo, doo, 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 doo. Big update.
Yeah, the music changes. How are you only on your third of these and I already despise them?
I like how many different update songs you've used.
All right. So this
we
one
have no consistency. just make like noises. It'd be so much better if your break in noises were just like
skirt. All right, I'm gonna give you two results here. First, for 2019 job Mike Gundy is linked to but ultimately turns down. Runaway winner here, Louisville, 55% of the vote. Penn State and Vanderbilt combined could not equal that. Great job, Louisville. Congratulations on not getting Mike Gundy. You're Tennessee now. And then next, inexplicably bad 2019 Ohio State loss. Kind of a surprise result here. Nebraska winning this one narrowly, 38% of the vote over Northwestern with 35% of the vote. Coming in third, which I really thought was going to maybe take this one easily, Cincinnati. Not a good showing for the Bearcats. Kind of disappointing.
I think Nebraska is a good choice there.
It is, and there's probably some recency bias. Working well, there
should be quite improved, and that game would be in Lincoln.
No, there's
Ohio
logic to
State
it.
State coach Ron Turner is going to have his work cut out for him.
Right, but next new after that, Ohio State coach Luke Fickle will really have things rolling at Cincinnati, unless he takes the Browns job. Oh, he's taking the Browns job. Congratulations, Luke.
Yeah, if Lincoln Riley the worst idea I've ever heard is the gifted Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to take the Cleveland job.
Like, why would you?
Why? Like what ghost of a man do you want to be after 3 years? If you get 3 years, everybody the Haslam family's touched in terms of professional development has ended up a turnip.
No, some FBI agents have probably risen through the ranks.
It's been really good for him, but you know,
Phil Fulmer's doing fine. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, isn't he on the other side of the war? Isn't that how it works? I can't keep this straight.
Yeah, it's hard to say. He might be a double agent.
That's yeah.
I think Phil Fulmer has full creative control over all Tennessee athletic department videos because they always find a way to work Fulmer in, right? Particularly toward the end of the video, they'll do some new thing on Tennessee's diet and, you know, nutrition center, and you know it'll be Phil Fulmer at the end, like, sure tastes good to me. So like they cut the whole thing and then Phil's like, I don't see enough Phil Fulmer in this. I'm sorry,
I don't see enough of our tradition in here. I'm sure hungry. Why don't we just film the scene now?
Sure, Phil. Whatever, man.
God. This sorghum has a championship taste. And what the fuck are you talking about, Phil?
It's just Jeremy Pruitt in the corner going, God, just get him out of here.
I don't know what any of these foods are. Just, why am I here?
Feed me a Nutribark.
Is Jeremy Pruitt a sim? Does he just have a hunger bar and it really doesn't matter what he eats for it? Just no, something. I just got to work on my hunger bar and my urinating bar.
Now he's the Mr. Fusion for Back to the Future, right? He'll just run on anything. Just, I don't know. Why don't you go eat the foam out of that car seat in the dumpster and come back in 5 minutes fully energized?
Keep those banana peels. I'm going to need those.
Got those. Man, Coach Pruitt, man. That dude just runs on everything.
Yeah, Holly definitely left based on this conversation.
Yeah, look at what we're getting away with.
It's fine.
I picture Jeremy Pruitt studying the same way as he just sits in front of the computer, stares at it.
Wait, is the implication here that I'm going to defend either Phil Fulmer or Jeremy Pruitt? Have you all met?
I just thought you would have something to say. That's all.
It was more that we were discussing Tennessee.
We're just running down a laundry list of things that I would rather slam my face in a meat locker door than discuss right now. So I'm just rolling around on my back like a baby panda.
Let's keep it going with noon Saturday, number 10 Ohio State at Michigan State.
The panda of college football.
Possibly 18 obsolete. Michigan State for some reason.
No, are they 18?
Yeah, they jumped from unranked on the strength of a win over Maryland.
Sure. And a Penn State win that is worse.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it is? The Arizona State loss just keeps looking better and
that's
better.
That's probably what it is.
That's what it is.
Herm is, oh my God, is Herm our golden thread this year? Is he the one who's simultaneously floating multiple?
He's the rising tide he is the rising tide that lifts all boats. And yes, I'm saying Herm Edwards lives on a boat.
Out of all the playoff committee conspiracy theories, the one I really believe is that they like to put numbers next to two teams who are playing each other, like Ohio State's playing Michigan State. The schedule looks pretty light. Let's tack a number next to Michigan State's name for no good reason at all.
Yeah.
And also, Auburn peaking in at 24th, right when they happen to play Georgia.
Earned. Absolutely earned.
Is this game trouble for Ohio State?
Every game is trouble for Ohio State now.
Hold on. I want to remind you that exactly a week ago, you suggested that Penn State was going to be trouble for Michigan. You did so, even though you had no reason for that to happen. And you were proven completely...
They're a volatile horseshit team. I just got the direction of that horseshittery wrong.
Okay, why do you think Michigan State is a problem for Ohio State?
Man, probably because...
Because they're a non-volatile horseshit team.
Because they're a stable, solid horseshit team.
I know what they're going to do, which
this is
a day-old
horseshit.
Yeah. It's just going to be a whole lot of nothing. There's a whole lot of nothing. And I know probably what's going to happen is this, that Ohio State will suck and this game will be close. And then they'll panic at the end and they'll do what they've done all year long, which is start throwing the ball and getting the ball to fast people who are faster than Michigan State's people. And one of them will bust a long run. That's what happens. That's what every time, by the way, that Ohio State's gotten backed into a corner, they run some play where they're like, Paris Campbell on a screen. And inevitably their talent bails them out. I just don't know if Michigan State is talented enough to counter that. So that's why I'm skeptical about being bullish on an upset here.
24, 23, 7, 21, 19. These are the points that Michigan State has scored in its last five games. Do any of those seem like a number that you are comfortable saying, yes, that will beat Ohio State?
No.
Okay.
Not comfortable.
I mean, like, even reasonably comfortable.
I'm not comfortable with saying anyone can defend, like, that Michigan State is capable of doing anything on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ohio State scored 20 against Purdue.
Yeah, damn. I think like they're so, I mean, at this point you go, man, Michigan State is so tough, so committed, and so pointless. Like tough, committed, pointless. That's that's this Michigan State team, because defensively they're gnarly, and offensively they're also gnarly in an entirely different sense of the word.
It's Michigan State is like being number one in your TV VCR repair class in 2018. Be like, man, you really worked hard. This skill is useless.
I don't know. That sounds like the type of shit some hipsters would be really into.
It's fine because if Michigan State wins this game, that's going to make that division, the Big Ten East, like kind of a mess. So just think about what you're doing.
Consistent Michigan, always finishing first in the division.
God.
And no other rank.
God.
Only first.
No, we're not going to play this game. There's another noon game on the schedule for us, but it is not identified other than that is the, it's the Sandman lock of the week, but I don't know what it is, and the Sandman hasn't told us, so...
I didn't receive my fee ahead of time, so
damn it. Paywalled by the Sandman. Oh, the Sandman, I'm going to miss you when you write for The Athletic, but it's well earned.
UMass plus 14 against BYU. So many trends here, folks. First of all, S&P Plus would say it should be literally half that number. This is also a very long road trip for a nearly West Coast team all the way across planet Earth. And as those who study NFL lines know, the early games when the West Coast team travels all the way to the East Coast, that tends to severely impact the road team. The reason this spread is so high is because UMass is on its backup quarterback. But the backup quarterback, he led the team to 62 points last week. So... I think that can, you know, if they were to hold, well, how many points is BYU going to score? 18? That's a lot of points for BYU. So as long as UMass scores 5, we're good here. UMass, lock of the week.
Jesus. So you're going to pay attention to UMass BYU?
I will look at the score at the end of it.
That even that is more than I think it merits, but we all make our own choices.
Someone has to observe.
We all make our own choices, and boy, that feels appropriate for election night. I do have one political thing I want to talk about, if that's okay.
Oh, God.
That's a great idea.
This is the only candidate I want to talk about. candidate by the name of Denver Riggleman. Denver Riggleman. Spencer, where do you think Denver Riggleman was running for office? What state?
Oh, God. Colorado.
Virginia. The answer is Virginia. And the reason I bring up Denver Riggleman, who won in Virginia's 5th congressional district, is he is the now representative who was accused of being a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. Now...
Wait.
Yeah, sure.
Now, when you say accused.
Oh, yeah, that's my
No, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Why so judgmental?
So, this happened because his opponent tweeted a drawing from Riggleman's Instagram, which, while censored, I'm just gonna drop it in for everybody here.
All right, let's get a look.
One second. Now, first of all, this Bigfoot, very Spencery.
That's disturbing. Go on.
Have you all seen the image yet?
Oh, yeah.
I am dialing up the image at this time. It's, let's see here.
It's Bigfoot's crank.
Yeah.
That's Bigfoot's
crank. There's a lot of it.
What does this lady mean? This is not what we need on Capitol Hill.
This is, honestly, I'm going to be very real here. This is one of two or three Republicans that I'd actually wanted to talk with for 5 to 10 minutes so and ask him some questions.
So what we're looking at here is his opponent for the House race.
Yeah. Leslie Cockburn, who lost, and I believe is Olivia Wilde's mom.
Cockburn.
Wait,
is the one who shared the Bigfoot erotica. Questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Politics is wild, man. I gotta pay more attention to this shit.
She found it on his Instagram and was basically like, look, we don't need a Bigfoot erotica enthusiast representing us. His response was, this illustration is actually like part of a prank between friends. It's just a joke. It's not a big thing. However, Congressman Riggleman has written two books about Bigfoot. One is called Bigfoot Exterminators, Inc., The Partially Cautionary, Mostly True Tale of Monster Hunt, 2006. And wait for
What's it about?
It's actually just a shameless Pride and Prejudice retelling. Book number two, Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him.
So this guy won? Is that what you said?
Yes, correct.
I question his opponent's methods.
I'm going to go ahead and look up.
She did ask if this is what we want in Congress, and it seems that she has been given an answer.
I also really want to ask this gentleman what his interpretation of Harry and the Hendersons is, because I bet it's vastly different than mine. So the wife, go on. Yeah, see, she's sexually frustrated. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then here comes Harry. Oh, boy.
Now, I'm going to go just hop on Amazon real quick. Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah. So we're going to discuss the next game on the schedule that we have here.
While Ryan is busy.
If we don't hear from Ryan for the rest of the podcast. Y'all know what's up. Asquatch.
Well, Ryan picked a good time to duck out because here comes UCLA, Arizona State.
That's right. Herm. Again, Herm, the gold standard, holding up so much of what we consider value in college football. Already the most influential member of the college football coaching community, I think. Like, there's Nick Saban at second, and then really there's nobody else close. Herm. Herm at one. Going in here at UCLA. Remember, we all said, oh man, UCLA is looking a lot better. Totally looking a lot better. And then
I don't think we said a lot.
We all said that. We all said
sure. Well, and by a lot better, we're talking from like
that's true.
110th to 80th.
That's true. If you were believed dead at sea and you washed up with two arms missing and no memory, you'd be like, oh, you look great.
You look a lot better.
You look a lot better.
I like that Herm is so NFL. He has put up a 28-21, another 28-21, and a 20-13 so far this year, and a 27-20. Sober scores across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 38-35.
And that's, by the way, like Arizona State has beaten USC and Utah, improving, gaining momentum. One would go into this game and think, man.
I bet Arizona State's
going to take it to UCLA.
There's a very real scenario where the Territorial Cup is the deciding game for the Pac-12 South.
And jeez. The other chicken bet.
And the yeah. other chicken bet. That's
the OG
true.
Chicken bet.
That's true. That's yeah. true.
Just like we drew it up.
We knew that these two teams are going to be very important in college football, and that's why we bet chicken on them.
So what I'm saying is this. This is normally where I would break stride and go, this is probably where Arizona State regresses after doing really well two games in a row. Nay, I don't think you can regress against UCLA.
What that familiar sound means.
I want you to know that during all of these election updates from Ryan, I'm on the big screen in the back just zooming in on GIFs. That's it. Just zooming in on GIFs I love and being like, look, this is the part where his eyes get real big.
Look at Bigfoot's crank.
Yeah, if you can just see here, this district of Bigfoot's crank.
We're joined by hologram Bigfoot Dick.
The last two results from our poll. First, we have a winner in the race for Butch Representative, Butch Davis and Butch Jones, both losers. Butch T. Cougar. Congratulations.
Wow. You're
Butch Representative for 2019. And probably the most important ballot item. Worst full cast idea of 2018. I put three entries on the ballot. Spencer's British accent.
Oi.
Wait, don't hell me. Our NPR Arizona State podcast.
That's a good one.
And releasing the live show audio.
You know, we don't have unmuting 700 people at once on here.
No, we didn't.
Because it was a brilliant idea.
What do you think won?
I'm going to guess Spencer's accent.
I'm going to guess that everybody uniformly agrees that the live show audio was beyond bootleg quality.
It wasn't uniform. Your British accent is so bad that it did give the live show audio a run for its money. But yes, releasing that horrible audio nightmare was in fact the worst full cast idea of 2018. Were there a lot of Jeff Goldblum voice write-in votes? Yes, but I don't count those, so fuck off.
So if we added together all of Ryan's various different nominees,
yeah,
would like a composite Ryan have won?
Oh, I
did. You intentionally split the vote here?
Mecha Ryan.
If we do a recall election, I'm gone 100%.
Does going to law school just teach you how to like be shitty artfully
to do legal fraud? Yes.
Yeah, that's all it teaches you.
Yeah, what did you think it was?
You're the only person who heard the vaping and drilling amendment and thought, I know why this happened.
And thought, I have a workaround.
I both know why they did this, and I have a solution.
That's right. It's not indoors if I kicked out all the windows, is it? But that's it. No more full cast election updates.
I could get away from this big board. Stop zooming in on pictures of Houston Nutt.
Oh my God, Houston Nutt is Bigfoot.
Just trying to help. The next game we have up, in a game that I, why did you all put this on here? I love which, both which of one? These which teams one? The
Virginia ACC championship implications. Yeah,
sorry,
Virginia
do you mean the one?
Tech at Pitt.
Do you mean the one that has conference championship participant implications?
Which
don't
which
you want to see Boston College Pitt in Charlotte?
Yeah.
I do. You know that. I'm weak for it.
The worst clue ending possible.
Yeah. God. There's not a lot this week, man. Just not. It's not. Just. Whew.
All right. But here's one I think you do want to talk about. Number three, at least at the time I put this in, they're not anymore.
Yeah.
How many weeks have we made this exact complaint this year? Because it feels like at least 8 weeks.
We make it more than we should. We're kind of stupid babies.
I mean, this season is trash.
Well, I think
it's a little. It's a little of both.
It's a little. There was also, I think, there are a lot of coaches just in their first year, like a lot, because last year was a bloodbath. So, I think you get a big differential in terms of quality. You know, you get like somebody rebuilding.
That's my favorite kind of bath, though.
Yeah, yeah.
LSU plays Arkansas on the road. I figured you would want to talk about that because I know you have some positive things to say about Arkansas. And what if LSU loses this game?
Well, better yet, what if LSU struggles on offense in this game?
Yeah.
They won't. Arkansas is deplorable on defense. They're just horrid. But also, Arkansas will give LSU a lot of turnovers. Especially if they put that big old milk jug of a backup quarterback in. That like 7'4" Mongo of a quarterback that Chad Morris gets to mess with as a running QB, which is watching him run the zone read is awesome. It's like watching a refrigerator run the zone read, right? Imagine your refrigerator opening the door with the ice maker in it, with the ball wedged in it. That's what it looks like when he runs the zone read.
The brave little toaster is jacked.
Yeah, that's two-thirds accurate. Ain't little about this dude. He is built like a brick shit house, and he is the size of one. He is massive. By the way, brick shit house, way too common a term. Because at no point in American history were people like, yeah, what kind of shit house they got? Tell you what, brother.
Cinder block.
They got a sod shit house. It's nothing. But that brick one.
Stucco.
I went over there and I thought how massive and well built it was. This is a universal opinion.
I thought about how I would use it as a favorable comparison to things down the road. Yeah. As a compliment.
Look, I was in there. I was trying to break it. Okay. I was giving it everything I had. The thing just wouldn't give. I'm like, wow, man.
I'm a bad house guest. This. I'm a very bad house guest.
I'm just sitting there giving it what for. And I'm like, damn, I am inside a metaphor right now.
Yeah. I don't think anybody at that point was like, hey, Lurleen, you know what I thought about tonight? What? How indomitable and powerful their bathroom was.
I hope our boys are like that one day. Yeah,
I do. One day I shall describe an Arkansas quarterback. The backup, though, not the starter, as being comparable to this. What if you
left off brick? How weird of a comparison would that be? Boy, that Arkansas quarterback, he looks like a shithouse.
He's perched on the water in a place without a sewage system. Yeah, I do have kind things to say about Arkansas, but they're going to turn the ball over a bunch and keep LSU in this, even if Joe Burrow's hangover continues and he just waltzes out there and sees Bama.
Okay, which 7:30 game is going to be closer for longer? LSU, Arkansas, or Florida State, Notre Dame?
LSU, Arkansas.
Okay.
Does that take us to our evening game? Our proper title game?
Sure. Yes.
Clemson at Boston College.
Oh, man.
This feels dangerous.
Because Boston College is not a bad team. That's why.
Well, no. And when you look at complementary strengths and weaknesses, Clemson hasn't had to pass the ball a whole lot. If Boston College actually makes them work for ground yardage, which... that'll be a change of pace after playing Louisville. I don't know if you saw this. There was a diagram of a run fit, like lining up where Louisville's trying to line up against Clemson to get everybody in the right place. And I'm not kidding you. There are four defensive linemen. There is one linebacker in kind of an over position. And there is nobody in the middle of the defense. The safeties are playing like 3 yards off the hashes toward the sideline. And Clemson saw it and like, you can see Trevor Lawrence just look up and go, nah. Run. Give it to Travis Etienne. It's gone. There's nobody there. That's not what they're going to be facing with Boston College. An extraordinarily well-coached, very disciplined, not as talented, but a team that's more than happy to slow the entire game down and dare you to get into a slog. So Clemson should win this, but... it'll be a little scary. Little scary. How's that? Can I just...
Here's a surprising fact about Boston College. In S&P Plus's adjusted pace, which tries to figure out how much time you're spending on offense based on run pass, basically how fast you're going, Boston College is up to fourth in tempo.
Dude's got to move.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Dude's got to circulate the blood.
So anyway, when they punt, they'll punt quickly.